This is Jazz Discoveries on listener-supported Jazz On 2. I'm your host, Robert Bullington.
So what are you guys doing out in the world? Tell me more about the gigs that are coming up for you. I know we just heard from you, David Bamber, but I know you've got a release coming out, right?
Sure.
You made a recording at, was it at Temple?
A couple of the other grad students, and there's one senior undergrad. He's going to the master's program at Temple as well. We were in the studio of Benjamin Schachter. He's a tenor sax player who was in charge of the graduate program and instructor at Temple. So we each wrote original compositions and have been rehearsing over the past semester. We just came out of the studio on Sunday. So we're in the process of mastering, mixing, and everything. We're looking at artwork to see what how we want to package and present it. And we'll have a project of original compositions. I would say definitely before the summer's out. Hopefully by the end of this month. Well, coming month in May.
And how can people find that project to track its progress?
Well, we're still coming up with a band title. We're definitely going to be on Bandcamp. We're still looking to see whether we want to do something for sale on iTunes. Spotify, but we'll definitely be on at least Bandcamp or something online.
Got it. So people can search for David Bamber.
Right. Well, I'm
on this project.
Exactly. That's fine. Most of my stuff online. Bamber Music on Instagram. David Bamber on Facebook. Bambermusic.com is my website. What else? That's about all I feel like talking about.
Okay. That's great.
Too
Thank
many
you.
Profiles.
Any other projects coming up that you guys want to talk about? Performances?
Yeah.
Yeah, John, tell us about an upcoming performance.
Well, me and Dave Pollock and Mike are all mutually in another band that's run by a drummer called the Dom Palombi Project. And that, I'd say, is kind of like a funk fusion sort of group.
Play some standards, too.
Yeah, we do some standards, too. And we have a lot of gigs coming up. Do you have in front of you, Mike?
That's how we know Dave, me and John obviously know each other. And we met Dave Pollock through the Dom Palombi Project, and actually Dave Bamber, we met him on the Dom Palombi Project too. The only person is Kyle, because you're the drummer. we've been fortunate enough to play a lot at Chris's Jazz Cafe in Philly. We'll be up there. I'm not sure if you guys are there in a few weeks. We played at Club Bonafide a lot in New York. It's near Lexington area. We've also played a lot in New Brunswick. Played a lot in different areas of New Jersey. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, we do have a couple New York gigs coming up on May 31st at Shrine in Harlem. Hmm. That's a set at 6 to 7. And the Dom Palombi Project's also going to be at Silvana in Harlem on June 29th. And that's also a set from 6 to 7.
May 14th will be at Monday, May 14th at Chris's Jazz Cafe. So I would say at least most of our work sometimes, at least between the three of us, comes from the Dom Palombi Project. Here we are today.
Great. So if you're hearing this show on its first airing in April of 2018, these are upcoming gigs. If you're hearing this by chance as a repeat, where can folks find out about your current performing schedule?
Most of the ones are on Dom Palombi's website, I think on yours as well.
Yeah, all my dates are on my website, which is johnmorrisonjazz.com. And
my website's almost done.
Excellent, guys. So what else do you have on the docket for us?
This is a composition by myself. When I was in grad school at Rutgers, one of my favorite tunes, you know, every once in a while there's a tune that I start playing that I just play nothing else or listen to nothing else but that tune or different versions of that tune. In this particular case, it was the Thelonious Monk song, Evidence, which is characterized by a series of very syncopated rhythmic hits. That's actually, which actually, it makes up the melody. The hits are the melody. So what I did is I took the rhythmic hits itself, I put it in the rhythm section, and I created a new melody over top of it. It's not a contrafact of evidence. It's actually a rhythm changes form, which is similar similar to a blues form. Frequency of use. There's many different songs based on the rhythm changes form. It's AABA and it's 1-6-2-5 with a bridge in the middle, of course. So I took that form, I took the hits of Monk's song Evidence, and I put a whole new melody over it, which you'll hear Dave playing the top part and John playing the bottom part. They go in unison a lot. So this is a composition called Lack of Evidence.
Lack of Evidence by Michael Burnaby.
And this is going to feature Dave, John, myself, and David Bamber on bass.
Excellent. In that order. All right, let's hear it, guys. Lack of Evidence. I thought was Lack of Evidence by Michael Burnaby, derived on Thelonious Monk Evidence, right?
Absolutely, yes.
great tune, guys. So talk a little bit about the process of finding your voice as a composer and anybody else or Michael?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead, man.
Yeah, David, absolutely.
I think it's a good question. Just because, you know, like previously, you know, we were talking about being a historian, and, you know, that's a subject of a lot of debate in terms of when to start being yourself and being original. The funny thing about jazz is it's almost like the way of showcasing how proficient you are in the music and how much you studied is kind of by sounding like somebody. So a lot of times, like especially younger musicians, it's something I'm working on myself, and I'm 23, I'm still young, but I've also been doing this for a long time relative to my years. So it's kind of like your own voice is really more of an amalgam of what you've been listening to and who you check out. And it's kind of like it's impossible to sound like anybody but yourself after a certain point, because I like Christian McBride and Ben Williams. Ben Williams is 30 something and Christian McBride is in his 40s. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So Christian McBride wasn't listening to Ben Williams, but I am.
Right.
So even though I check these guys out, there's no way that I could sound exactly like them. So I would say finding your voice is a matter of kind of like you have to do your time and do the work of listening to all the important guys in the music that you're studying, because that's just part of being a responsible artist. But after that, you kind of need to start pinpointing who you really like, why you like the way they sound, and why you would want to incorporate that into your playing.
You've said a couple of times that jazz musicians are historians, so mm-hmm. obviously this is something that really means a lot to you. Do you feel like as jazz musicians that you're telling the story of the time that you're in right now, that the art that you bring to the artistry that you bring to this, that the voice that you bring to this is somehow telling the story of where we are right now as a society or as a community?
I mean, different jazz is such a huge genre, so I mean different musicians take on different goals, so I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like the jazz musician has always been somewhere, whether that's a forefront, in the background, in the middle of jazz musicians are like everywhere in any important historical scene or There's a lot of good work. I mean, there's a lot of younger musicians are doing things. Christian Scott, the trumpet player, he constantly does a lot of work that kind of reflect the times. So his I know he dropped an album when Hurricane Katrina hit years ago. His stretch music thing, a lot of that music's kind of about like involves hip hop and trap music and involving kind of like the counterculture in jazz music. A young pianist, Samora Pender Hughes. He has a project. Oh man, I'm drawing a blank on it, but it's basically protest music. It's really ambitious piano project. He's a pianist. You should check out though. Samora Pender Hughes. But there's that's definitely a big part of the music. Every jazz musician isn't a social justice warrior. I don't want to say anything as a blanket statement like that, but that's very important to the music.
No, but you're a voice that represents the greater society.
Sure.
As jazz musicians,
mm-hmm.
you're giving voice to a lot of people that need you to be their voice.
Mm-hmm. And then there's just everybody plays jazz. There is somebody in every corner of this world that somehow has a jazz record or wants to play this music. So you can't say that about everything. So
all right. Yeah. Thank you, guys. So what is that segueing? Oh, Mike. No, okay, so what's up next?
Next is another Wayne Shorter tune called Rio. Recorded by Lee Morgan, made famous by Lee Morgan. I think Herbie's on this record too, right? And Ron Carter. So it's basically Miles Davis' band. Actually, who's on drums? Billy. Ah, very good. All right. All right, so this is it's a nice Latin bossa kind of tune. And this is going to feature John first and then Dave Pollock on sax.
All right, here we go. Rio.
And 8 bars B flat. 8 bars B flat out front, and then at the end, vamp on B major.
After my solo right to
that? Yes.
Good.
One, two, one, 8 bars B flat. One, two, three. Thank you.
All right, that was Rio. And let me reintroduce the whole band that played on that. That's Michael Burnaby at piano, John Morrison on guitar, David Bamber on bass, Dave Pollock on alto sax, and Kyle Gupstadt at drums. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Kyle answered the call for more cowbell. We saw that magical instrument appear on your kit during that number.
The go-go. That's scary. Sorry about that.
No, it's wonderful. So anything else? We already talked about Rio. Anything else you want to say about it before we move on?
No, I think it's self-explanatory. Okay. It's okay. Good. It's a good tune.
It's a good tune. So what else do we have, guys?
We got another one. It's a Billy Strayhorn tune. It's a kind of an obscure tune to many, but it's in the real book, so it's in some way considered a standard. I guess I would say anything that's by Billy Strayhorn would be considered a standard, a longtime associate of Duke Ellington. This is called Upper Manhattan Medical Group. I believe there's some story that goes with Billy Strayhorn going to the former hospital, Upper Manhattan Medical Group, or simply titled UMMG.
Right.
And this will feature. You okay there?
That's a live recording session, everybody.
As character to the recording.
That's right.
Technology trying to ruin us all.
And this will feature. This will feature the whole band.
All right.
Dave, John, myself. David Bamber, and we'll do some with Kyle, too. Kyle, why don't you do a whole solo, too, as well? All right, and start the coda twice. 16 bars of coda, and then right into the tune. Just hang. All right. One, two, coda.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. That was Billy Strayhorn's Upper Manhattan Medical Group with Michael Burnaby at the piano, John Morrison on guitar, David Bamber at bass, Kyle Gupstadt on the drums, and Dave Pollock at alto sax. This is Robert Bullington, host of Jazz Discoveries. I want to again thank the wonderful musicians who came in and gave us this live session and conversation. Michael Burnaby at piano, John Morrison on guitar, Dave Bamber on bass, Kyle Gupstadt on drums, and Dave Pollock on alto sax. Guys, what can we close out with a blues?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
What are you thinking?
All Pervave.
All Pervave.
Charlie Parker.
Charlie Parker tune. And go out front, 16. Or blues, sorry. 12. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. This is Robert Bullington with Jazz Discoveries. We'll see you on our next edition, and we're going to close out with these fine musicians on Au Pervave. Thank you.